It is now time for our featured segment. It is called My Check. Educator struggles in Jamaica. Lack of vacation. Low salaries. Sudden deaths, Anthony Turner. The education sector is rocked and rocked real hard in these trying times. Joining us this morning, Anthony, is immediate past president of the Jamaica Teachers Association, Mr. Winston Smith. Go ahead and introduce the guest, Anthony.
Yes, as you said, our special guest on Mic Check this morning, his name is Winston Smith, and he is the principal of Golden Spring Primary School in St. Andrew, Jamaica, and he was installed as the 57th president of the Jamaica Teachers Association. This happened on August 16, 2021. It happened at the Ocean Coral Spring Hotel in Trelawney. And in his address, Rathcliffe, he pledged to ensure that the JTA will continue being a force to be reckoned with. And Smith, who hails from Rose Hall in St. Elizabeth, Jamaica, he obtained his master's in education administration from the University of the West Indies in Mona. And prior to assuming the position of principal of Golden Spring Primary, he served as principal of Constitution High School, Constitution Hill Primary School, and he taught at Papine High School and Stony Hill All Age School in Jamaica. And his accomplishments and awards include being a member of the Educational Transformation Oversight Committee, ETOC. He was a member of the Board of National Council on Education. He's a 2019 recipient of the WBC Ben Hawthorne Award for Outstanding Contribution to Education and the JTA. In 2015, he received a Long Service Award from Papine High School for outstanding leadership and service to the school. And in 2014, he was the recipient of the St. Andrew Parish President Award for service to the St. Andrew Parish Association. So welcome, Mr. Smith, to Groovin' Radio this Saturday morning.
Good morning, Mr. Smith. How are you?
Good morning, and thank you for having me. But just a little slight corrections I want to say. I'm not the immediate past president yet. I still have about 32 days to go.
Oh, you still have 32 days to go. Okay.
My math is correct. Today is the 16th,
yes.
Which means I have 15 days in July and 22 days in August.
Okay.
That makes it 27 years ago.
Okay, so you're still the president of the Jamaica. Okay, sir.
And yes, and if, as it relates to masters, I still have two courses to finish because I put it on hold to seek to represent the teachers. So I put my own personal gain on hold.
Right.
To give the teachers the best representation I humanly possibly can.
Okay, thank you.
I have to go back to school from September to finish those six credits.
Okay, thank you.
To complete them.
Thank you so much for those two quick corrections. I am jumping the gun here because I thought you were, I thought you had left, but okay, so you're still the president. So happy that you're still the president. The struggles.
Still have 37 days to go.
Yeah, man. The struggles of the educators in Jamaica. They've been going through a lot. And recently we have seen reports coming out of Jamaica. Let's start with this one. Lack of vacation and teachers need to take personal time because they're stressed. They're overworked. Let's talk about this, Mr. Winston Smith. As the president of the Jamaica Teachers Association, how could teachers be working, and there's no vacation, there's no personal time? What's happening here?
The description of no personal time may not necessarily be 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
The regulation allows for a teacher to access 12 days, what we call departmental leave, per year. It's not rolled over though, so once a year it's refreshed. As it relates to vacation leave, the regulations under which we operate indicate that no more than 10% of your teaching staff can be out on vacation leave, at any one time. Now, this is where we now have a challenge with the government of Jamaica, because we are saying to the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of Finance, the entire government of Jamaica, that we need to relook at that line. A few years ago, another minister had interpreted the regulation to say, because it says not more than 10%, then it can be any percentage below 10. mm-hmm. and at that time had reduced it from 10% to 5% of the teaching cohort in each school
mm-hmm.
to be out on leave at any one time. And this kind of leave now incorporates study leave as well as vacation leave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that has created a serious challenge for us. Not that the 10% in the previous dispensation was satisfactory in the first place, but we were seeking to manage the situation because we understand the nuances of teaching, where it may not be prudent to give teacher vacation leave every year because you need to have continuity, especially at the primary school level.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, our forefathers in the industry or in the union movement would have agreed to working 5 years to access 4 months, 10 years to access 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
But we're finding now that because of this change in policy, we have a serious backlog. And not only that, we're finding that the teachers now, when a teacher works for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
it's not automatic that once you have reached 10 years, you will get your 8 month leave. And that now is where I am having a serious challenge as the president of the JT at this time. And well, the entire JT is having a challenge with it because we're saying we have made several proposals to the Ministry of Finance in our previous salary claim to say where a teacher would have passed the 10 years and have not benefited from any form of leave, then the teacher should be paid for any number of years beyond the 10.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you safeguard the 10 to say, yes, the teacher has those 8 months vacation leave, because we know money does not replace burnout or stress.
Mm-hmm.
Only rest and relaxation can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've proposed to the government to say, cap it when the worker reaches 10 years, then their 8 months would be secure. And any number of years between the 10-year and the time that the teacher should get access to the leave, that number of years should be paid for.
Mm-hmm.
We should then give the teacher a chance now, getting your 8 months, being paid for the excess number of years, so you're able to go and probably have a proper vacation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that has not been accepted. And we are saying to the government, we cannot continue like that because teachers are really burnt out,
mm-hmm.
they're stressed, they're fatigued, and the COVID-19 pandemic has brought this on in a more fulsome way,
mm-hmm.
so that persons really now should take a serious look at this proposal with a view to enact him.
Mm-hmm. Now, a recent Gleaner report, you had a story there that you are advising teachers to prioritize time for self-care in the wake of the sudden deaths of what the education sector have been seeing over the last couple of months. Quite a few of your teachers have just suddenly passed away. Do you think some of the contributing factors here is because of how burnt out and how stressed our teachers are?
I wouldn't necessarily say it like that,
mm-hmm.
because I have to be careful.
Yeah,
how we,
true.
You know,
mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, project mm-hmm. something, because we don't want to create anxiety and trepidation where there may not necessarily be the need for it.
Mm-hmm.
What I can say to you, though, is that without empirical data, the teachers themselves are of that view.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying to the teachers, let us wait until we get the scientific evidence or support such an assertion, but that mm-hmm. doesn't mean that the teachers won't be free to think what they want to think.
Right.
And that thought, in their mind, are creating anxiety, which exacerbates the problem born of the stress and fatigue created by the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So we are really in a difficult position, because as a union and a responsible, respected, and sensible union,
mm-hmm.
we are not in a position to say definitively that there is a correlation between the death and the stress of the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But our members are saying to us that they are of that view, and they will tell us that, how is it that my principal, who have never been sick,
mm-hmm.
never been absent, is constantly on the job, turns up at work, and did not reach home back,
mm-hmm.
died on the job.
Mm-hmm.
So these things in their various domestic areas are creating anxiety, and that now is filtered throughout the sector.
Mm-hmm.
So we are saying to the families who have suffered this loss, while we sympathize and we offer condolences, we would say to them that when the autopsy is done,
mm-hmm.
kindly provide us with the report And we'll keep it without naming anybody, mm-hmm. keep it on the confidential cover, mm-hmm. but at the same time have the information available to us so that we can advance the representation of our members in a more fulsome way.
Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Grooving Radio. Our very special guest this Saturday morning is the president of the Jamaica Teachers Association, Mr. Winston Smith. Educator struggles in Jamaica is the topic this morning. Teacher burnt out. No, Mr. Smith. If the teachers are saying this, though, if the teachers are saying this, and I know we have to be politically correct here, but if they're saying that, shouldn't now we be concerned? Shouldn't the ministry be concerned that if the teachers themselves are saying that they're burnt out, they're overworked, and it's causing health problem, shouldn't the ministry now starting to take a look at how teachers are working in Jamaica? A serious look?
Well, I would agree with you, and I have no challenge with them examining the workload, mm-hmm. the timetable, the work hours mm-hmm. of teachers. Mm-hmm. But I want to put it a little further, mm-hmm. not just to look at the conditions of service, because conditions of service plays a critical part mm-hmm. in the educational process. And we must be mindful that the working condition of the teacher is the learning condition of the student.
Right.
And if we are going to be asking for our students to perform at a particular level, mm-hmm. then we should ensure that our teachers are given the resources and the support to work and produce and quality output at the level so demanded.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I find that many times in our conversation is sometimes ignored or lost is the fact that the teachers are not properly paid, so the teachers are not able to eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers are not able to rest, to enjoy themselves, to recover, to relax on a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire weekend a teacher spend planning and preparing for the next week, marking and assessing and evaluating.
Right.
Teachers are not able to just simply go to a hotel, for example, and we have beautiful hotels on the North Coast and the South Coast too, mm-hmm. for rest and relaxation. The teachers are not able to go to a spa and unwind.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers have no recreational facilities available to them like other persons in the private sector, where they could go to a gym. For teachers to go to a gym, it costs the teacher more than half the teacher's salary for the month.
Wow.
So the teachers are not able to go to gyms to exercise properly, because we have to get up in the morning early to get to work. So we don't even have the time to walk in the morning or in the afternoon. When we reach home, we are tired.
Mm.
Plus, we have to be planning and preparing for the next day's work.
Mm.
So the teacher is in a difficult position, born of the job.
Right.
And is further exacerbated by this small pay.
Mm.
I said to DJ Clem in our last interview,
yeah.
a principal of a primary school at the level of grade 3 with 10 years experience is earning $26,000 for the year.
A principal.
No, that is happening. Principal mm-hmm. at a grade 3, which means that principal will have in the region of 19 to 25 teachers and a total staff complement of around 36, student population of around between 500 to 750. And that teacher, it therefore means, my friend, that every principal, grade 3, 2, and 1, not to mention the students, the teachers in the school, are earning less than $26,000 per year.
Wow.
What can they do with that, where there's a high cost of living in Jamaica? The cost of electricity, the cost of gas, the cost of food, the cost of rent, the cost of everything.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I've done a breakout to look at using a very conservative figure of $40,000 per month for rent. And very conservative figures with a teacher taking a bus. And when I have completed the mathematics of it, the teachers are negative $9,000 per month.
Mm. Mm.
And that is what we're asking our teachers to work with. Now, I'm saying to you that I am speaking to you now from the AFT convention in Boston,
mm.
and I'm very scared of what is going to happen to Jamaica.
Mm.
I'm worried sick. As a matter of fact, it is impacting me so much I haven't even eaten for morning. I have no appetite.
Wow.
Because I'm here talking with over 70 countries outside of the United States, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I listen to the presidents and representatives from these countries, they're saying that part of the challenge they're having in their countries is that teachers are not taking up teacher training institution opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to go as far as to reduce the qualification to try to encourage teachers to come into teaching.
Mm.
Now, what does that mean for Jamaica?
Right.
They are paying their teachers far better than what the Jamaican teacher is getting now.
Mm-hmm.
But what Jamaican teachers are far,
mm-hmm.
if I may want to say it, more competent than sometimes we give them credit.
Yes, yes.
They're very good.
Yes.
It
yes.
means, therefore, that they'll be a raiding of the Jamaican teaching classrooms.
No, you know, Mr. Smith, and I want to go back to the salary. I just want to stay with the salary for a moment. And Anthony, listen to this. If a principal is making $26,000 per year, what is the teacher making, Mr. Winston Smith?
And even a substitute teacher.
What is the teacher and a substitute teacher then making then? Because if the principal is only making $26,000 per year.
That's a correction. We don't have substitute teachers in Jamaica. We're not that fortunate.
Oh, I'm sorry. So what about the teacher's salary then, Mr. Smith? Where does that stand?
It's woefully inadequate. And that is why I said to you that I am worried for Jamaica. I'm very, very worried. Because let us be real.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
I've had two of my teachers who have left my school. And I've moved to North America. Two of my most productive teachers. One of them was awarded some, like what we'd have equivalent to the last teacher of the year in Jamaica.
Right.
He came up to North Carolina and was awarded the teacher of the year and got a scholarship to do a master's degree.
Wow.
Courtesy of that. That is a teacher who was teaching at Golden Spring Primary School under my principalship. I met him, I came up to North Carolina, I spoke with him for a little while, and I asked him and I encouraged him and said, hey, would you come back to Jamaica? And I said, sir, you're a good principal, you're a really nice principal, you care for us, but can you pay me what I'm getting? At that time, his salary equivalent in Jamaica, at the time the US dollar was 1 to 145, was $720,000 Jamaican dollars. That's what I would have to pay him, because that's what he was earning per month.
Here.
Now, how can you now say to a teacher, stay in Jamaica or come back to Jamaica? Now, listen to me now. When I took on my own time, my own expense, and I traveled to North Carolina to look at what is happening in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia, and I went to these schools, spoke with the principals, and look at what is happening. The facilities that is available to these teachers there would let Jamaica look like it's an imaginary school. So the teachers are coming. They're getting far better facilities to work with. They're getting far better remuneration, smaller class size. So guess what? We were born to teach. We love to teach. The facilities outside of Jamaica is now, these facilities are now attracting our members. They're leaving to come abroad to teach, because teaching is what they want to do. So we do understand that there's a difference in economy.
Right.
Jamaica is a third world. These countries are first world countries. So we're not expecting that there to be a one-to-one matching in terms of compensation and resources. What we are saying, the small low-hanging fruits that the government can do to attract and to keep and to encourage our members or teachers to remain in the classroom, they ought to do. So entitlement, for one, is something that they should simply decide, listen, we know what the regulations say, but we care about the teachers, so here what, we are going to lift it from 10% to 15-20% to facilitate all of you who have been in the system for a long while getting your leave. We must be able to show to the teachers that we care.
Right.
Care not just in words but in action.
Anthony, before
if I was to be the advisor to the minister, I would say to the minister, let the nation know that we are seeking to foster good educational development, and as such, we are going to treat with the teachers at this time. It's not as if we are being partial against you, but here is our national development plan. And a part of our national development plan is to make Jamaica what? A place to live, raise family, and to do business. We can't do that unless we have a properly educated workforce. So we are going to now do a proper infrastructural development in education. We are going to pay our teachers better. We are going to encourage them to stay so that we can have knowledge retention in our country. And let us build from there and make it become a national project.
Anthony.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Smith. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, Anthony.
Yeah, Ras Clem took it, spoke about salary. I want to take it into the classroom for a minute. There was a time when I grew up in Jamaica and others, and remember when a child did something wrong and they were disciplined at the school in the classroom, and they would go home and the parents would discipline them. No, there's a situation where if a child, you know, does something and he's disciplined, the parents are coming to the schools and confronting principal teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing a lot more situations where student are getting into tussles. And now we're also seeing situations where students are attacking teachers. It's a two-part question. I want to talk about that. And I also want to talk about smartphones in the classroom, because we're seeing a lot of videos of situations in the classroom that is put on the social media. So can you address those two situations?
Certainly. Let's treat with the smartphone first. You see, when I was going to school, mm-hmm. and in any academic institution now, you learn about cause and effect. You learn about rights and responsibilities. Well, you should learn about rights and responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
We seem to be focusing on rights mm-hmm. and ignoring the responsibility.
Right.
All students are provided with a smartphone. Yes, the smartphone is necessary, because the other phones that are non-smart, for want of a better word, those phones are not being manufactured anymore. Technology is moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But what we fail to understand is that technology, while it has many blessings, it also has curses.
Mm-hmm.
We need to spend time, and I speak to it from the point of view of parents, and I have two children. My last child is 19 years old. She lives in the state, and one of the challenges that parents have with their children, I don't have with many of my children, because I've sat down with them and I've educated them on the dangers of technology, mm-hmm. while we look at the benefits of it, and I've asked them to be very mindful of these things. Now, what we find is that our society today seems to forget that whereas technology gives advantage and support and it improves learning and it makes life easier, it also has a negative side that we need to know, monitor those things.
Mm-hmm.
We need to teach our children values and attitude, teach them right and wrong, responsibility for action. We have failed our society to a large extent in that regard. As a result, we have the second part of the question that you asked about discipline in school. Because our parents today are not as, I would say, exposed to the rudiments of parenting as our parents back then.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents back then did not believe in sparing the rod and spoiling a child. But mm-hmm. we have become signatory to all sorts of conventions and principles globally that pretty much have tied our hands in the way we do things. So Jamaica has become a part of a global push, mm-hmm. and we are adopting certain principles, not recognizing that the culture of Jamaica is different, and we're very unique in many ways. What we should do is to develop our own culture to say, this is how we operate, and allow some form of constraint to be acceptable mm-hmm. and be a part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when you look at when you study education in on a broader sense and look at other countries, when you say to a child, you misbehave at school today, I'm going to ground you for a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take away certain privilege. You're going to go to your room.
Mm-hmm.
In Jamaica, can we do that? No, because we have one television, for example, in the household.
Mm-hmm.
If you say to your child, you can't watch television, it means that you're punishing the entire household who did not do anything wrong.
Right.
Secondly, they're not in an individualized room, because we can't afford that kind of a living. We live in right. a kind of a communal setting.
Mm-hmm.
At so therefore, when you say to a child, go to your room, you're really infringing on others and you're messing things up. So those principles don't hold.
Mm-hmm.
We now therefore have to look at what will work for us in Jamaica, and we have to, as a nation, as a people, rally around the same cause, because if we don't do this, then we are going to end up with what we have. I remember speaking to the Lions Club of Kingston, and in my presentation I've said that we removed civic education out of the classroom some years ago,
mm-hmm.
and now we are a society bordering on the brink of self-destruction, and that's a fact,
mm-hmm.
because we have not taught our children how to be good citizens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, I'm grateful though that having made that presentation to the Lions Club, the public defender, the political ombudsman, she wrote me a letter, and she sent me a book to say that they are working on a civic education book to be incorporated in education, and she wanted the JTA to review it, and we have started going through the book with a view to give her a formal response as to what we think of it, but at a cursory glance and reading, it seems to be, in, you know, something that could go a long way to see how best you can remedy the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a big problem, and we have to take control of what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
We should not seek so much to fit into the globe, to the world as it is.
Right.
We should be trendsetters and leaders,
mm-hmm.
cutting our own niche and finding our own space in this world,
mm-hmm.
and be our own people. Because at the end of the day, if we don't control things, we are the ones who are going to be left in a state of confusion
and
almost at a point of catastrophe.
And we're going to be left behind. The computers are going to take over in a minute and a half. I want you to stay exactly where you are, Mr. Smith. When we come back, I want to touch briefly on why was civic education removed from the classroom. And as I asked you the last time, I wonder which genius came up with that idea to remove it from the education system. And I want to look I want to talk briefly about education reform, because there's a partisan report in Jamaica which I don't think they have the government have really looked at yet or have acted on it yet, because after 60 years of this colonial education system, we must do something with the system in Jamaica. It cannot remain where it is. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Grooving Radio. My name is Ras Clem. Our special guest this morning is the president of the Jamaica Teachers Association, Mr. Winston Smith. Anthony Turner, our writer, is also a part of this conversation. Education, educators' struggles in Jamaica. Low salaries, sudden debts, and they're not getting enough rest and relaxation time. They're stressed and overworked, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back in 3 minutes. Stay where you are. Get into the facts. Welcome to Mic Check, hard-hitting conversations with Ras Clem. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the final 25 minutes of our Grooving Radio's presentation this Saturday morning. Yes, it is Mic Check, and we are getting to the facts right here with our very special guest, the president of the Jamaica Teachers Association, Mr. Winston Smith. Anthony Turner, our writer, is also a part of the conversation. Welcome back, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, man. Right before we took the break, I brought this up. And I'm going to start here. I want to know which bright mind, which genius, and why. Why did someone really come up with this whole idea that we should remove civic education out of the school system in Jamaica? The damage that this has done to us. Why would anyone, Mr. President, why would anyone come up with this idea?
Being very clever. I think, you know, those are brilliant questions, you know. But I think you're asking them of the wrong person. I think those are questions you should ask the Ministry of Education, you know.
I think I should, but I don't know if she would like to come on here and talk to me about this.
I can't give you an answer to that question. I could give you a timeline, and then you can do the research and figure it out.
The damage, though.
Put it this way. I was a student of the St. Joseph Technical High School. You know, let me say, big upset sense we for our 60th anniversary. And I was very humbled and pleased. And to be honest with you, I was excited. I could hardly stand up, because I was actually the keynote speaker at the 60th anniversary. And banquet. I really felt good, and they did a good job in recognizing my accomplishment. Proud of it, proud of it, because, you know, but I was a student, and I remember in 1989, I was in third form, and I did civic education.
Right.
But I remember in 1991, my brother was in third form at another school in St. Elizabeth, and he was doing civic education, so we can check out the timeline.
Right.
When it was removed, can now do the math and the research to figure out what happens then. But I will not be able to. I would want to be positive in a response to that at this time as to what, who, and why. What I can say.
Right.
It takes on our country and our citizens,
mm-hmm.
and our society in general has been very far-reaching in terms of the negative implications.
Right.
And maybe we could also argue, and depending on which hat I have on, I could argue also that it has to do with also the breakdown of the family,
mm-hmm.
the family structure, and how we organize ourselves as a people.
Right.
That give rise to this kind of behavior coming through.
Mm.
We could also argue that while we were removing civic education, we were imposing the rules that no corporal punishment, etc.
Mm.
Once we've forgotten that there's a difference between punishment and abuse. And when we were going to school, we were never abused.
Right.
But we were kept in line, and we had to show regard and appreciation to our teachers and the systems of governance and you know, mm-hmm. management led by the school, the church, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So what you had was a more ordered society, because we were living in Jamaica, where the culture and the lifestyle of Jamaica was dominated by the Jamaican people.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are taking in a North America, Europe kind of lifestyle, and the proliferation of cable television in the home, access to the internet and so forth. Bear in mind, you know, DJ Clem, I didn't know of a computer until I reached college, you know.
Right.
That technology become more available and more accessible to this generation, and as such,
mm-hmm.
with the desire for the parents of people of my era and so forth to say, I want my children to have the things that I didn't have, and we want this push to make their life easier, not recognizing that sometimes the struggles that we went through is what made us who we are today. And if our children are given a free pass,
mm-hmm.
then they become soft, for want of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than appreciating the benefits that they have now, they take it for granted, and having this feeling or this idea of entitlement rather than the desire, the necessity for hard work and, you know, to push forward in a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at, it's not just a single item or issue that is causing the breakdown or causing us to be where we are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And of course, we can't eliminate the idea of tribalism born of politics and so forth, pushing mm-hmm. forward to secure position and posture and control.
Mm-hmm.
So all of this put into one melting pot has now caused us to be where we are, and we are trying our best to see how we can fix it. But fixing it
mm-hmm.
is not, it doesn't seem to be coming the way we want it.
Mm-hmm.
And from the GPA, and as an educator now, I've been in education, this is my 30th year, and I'm saying to us that if we really want to fix this problem, we need to start to look at teaching
mm-hmm.
and education in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We cannot be undermining our teachers in terms of how we treat them. Because it's all well and good people talk glowingly about teachers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But where the rubber meets the road, the mm-hmm. teachers are suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
Systems are not there.
Right.
You spoke earlier about the oversight and the Patterson report.
Mm-hmm.
The government right now has acted on the Patterson's report.
Okay.
And if you notice, in your introduction, I am a member of the Education Transformation Oversight Committee,
mm-hmm.
ETOC.
Mm-hmm.
This is a committee put together by the Prime Minister in conjunction with the Ministry of Education
mm-hmm.
to have a team to oversee the implementation of the recommendations of the Patterson report.
Right.
I don't wish to speak. I won't speak to it because Dr. Stoke is the person who chairs the committee, and I don't. You see, I want to make sure I stay in my lane.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
I know there are plans afoot to really examine the Patterson's report and to ensure that it is implemented and recommendations are followed and so forth.
Mm.
So something is being done in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's late, but better late than never.
Better late, better late than never, because that report has been out for a while. This might be a question also for the Ministry of Education, whoever is the Minister of Education. And as Jamaica approaches 60 years of an agreement with Great Britain, which some of us see, some call it independence. Some of us, like myself, call it just a deal, because looking at Jamaica and who is the head of state of Jamaica, education-wise, we must come clean on that, because we cannot be an independent country with the Queen still being our head of state. So when we look at the colonial education that we have been given for the last 60 years, no money was left in Jamaica after that deal was signed to put towards education. Now, how well do you think, Mr. President, President of the Jamaica Teachers Association, that colonial education system have been to us, and do you think it needs to change?
Well, if we look at how we are moving as a people, okay, if we look at where our students are heading, then we'll find that most of many of our people, our citizens, our Jamaican brothers and sisters, are no longer aspiring to go to England or the United Kingdom. They are moving into other parts of Europe and but chiefly North America. Now, if we are going to go into that direction, then there must be a change of how we organize our education or our curriculum, how we organize teaching, how we align our matriculation, for example. So a student will be in Jamaica with 10, 15, 20 CSEC subjects. But if they are to get into university abroad, they have to now do other exams and tests. There's that this natural progression or transition because of the difference in our educational system. So we have to know if we look, we should really look at the broader picture and how are we aligning our students and prepare them accordingly. Another thing that Jamaica should or could do, we have to face the fact that many of our Jamaican people are leaving our shores. Mm-hmm. Why are they leaving? We need to find out. Many of them from where we sit are living for a better life, mm-hmm. better working opportunity, educational opportunities. Mm-hmm. How can we then align our programs to ensure that we retain what our brightest and best?
Mm-hmm.
We now need to start look at fixing the system, notwithstanding though, you know, mm-hmm. the door between the diaspora and the Jamaican people swing both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So what we should be doing is really foster a kind of a relationship that will encourage people to constantly move through and, you know, in and out and give back, mm-hmm. bringing new information, new knowledge, new way of thinking and way of doing things. And at the same time, provide the support back home that when we come back with this new knowledge, it can be implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we're holding on to the archaic things so much so that we are not even accessing the best opportunities in the present and the future is not being prepared for. Mm-hmm. Which means that right now we are damaging the future. Remember, you know, today is the yesterday of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at life like that to know that we are not static, we are dynamic, we are ever changing, ever evolving. The best to how can we now capitalize on the opportunities that are available while maintaining our own identity as a nation, as a people,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time conforming or fitting in to the world that we now live in, because the world has now become a global village. It's no longer foreign, is no longer an imaginary place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is a 90-minute flight.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we have to be mindful of these things and create our own space, but at the same time, appreciate what the world has to offer and what is available and what abounds around us.
Mm-hmm. Anthony?
Yes. One other question I wanted to...
Go ahead. Yeah, final question.
One question I wanted to ask you, Mr. Smith. Many years ago, we used to see a lot of the high-performing students being boys, but it seems as if there's been a shift in terms of who the successful students are. The girls seem to be the top performers. Can you give us some insight into what is happening there? Is it that the girls are just born smarter, or there's some other dynamics at work?
Hey, we have done our boys in Jamaica a great injustice.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let us look at some factors. We know, right, mm-hmm. that boys develop later than girls.
Mm-hmm.
True?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a known fact?
Mm-hmm.
Boys develop later than girls on average. Yet, we have our boys and girls sitting the same exam at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It therefore means that the girls are going to outdo the boys in terms of their readiness for exam at age 12. We have moved away from the principle of allowing people to do exam at age 9, 10, 11, etc. I can use my brother, for example. I have a brother who is a commercial pilot. he passed common entrance at age 9. At age 16, he had completed high school. Right? We have moved away from that. On the other hand, I didn't pass my exam until I was 12, 13, going 13. So we have to look at how do we teach our boys. We teach our boys that, oh, you shouldn't cry, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Our boys are to be are sometimes taught in a manner similar to what you'll teach a girl. So you go to a class and you're teaching, not factoring the boys' way of learning. And we teach in the way that the girls will learn, which is more sit down, pay attention, attentive, while the boy, on the other hand, is more logical, reasoning, critically thinking, analyzing, and we're not working with them in that regard. Here is where the teaching profession have shifted a little. But guess what? The boys today, when they go through the system, what is there available for them? Funding is a problem. So when we talk about boys not being performing as well as girls, you know, have you ever done a research and see how many of the persons who are doing what we call scamming or chopping nowadays, what are the gender? Mm. Whether it is a male or female?
Mm.
The boys are being very critically thinking, critical thinkers, you know, and creative people, but they're, it's just that their energy and mind is tuned towards other things,
right?
Because they're looking at the way to make a living the quickest possible way. And we have always sometimes, the truth is, our education system seem to give females a greater chance of success. And it's more tolerant to the females, but why? 85% of the teaching profession in Jamaica are females.
Mm.
Why is it that the females are dominating the teaching profession? Because of economy.
Right.
It's economics.
Economics.
A man can survive off of that PA.
Mm.
The females will survive. So when you look at the whole dynamics, you know, let me tell you something. I'll be honest with you, Clem.
Mm.
It goes right back to simple economics.
Mm.
How do we pay our teachers?
Right. Right. And
so you have females. A female will teach the female way.
Right.
A female has never been a male. And can let me not say I can never be a male, but a female is not a male.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they will
teach the
best of their knowledge, skills, and abilities the way that they know how to do it in Jamaica.
Right. You know,
and it, be more tolerant.
You know, it's so funny, you know, Mr. It's funny, you know, Mr. Smith. Sorry to cut you off there. It's funny because when I interviewed Minister of National Security, Dr. Horace Chang, he brought up the fact that it's not that our boys are stupid, you know. He says they're very bright because the same analogy that you use in terms of look who is doing the scamming. It must take somebody who is critically thinking about something to do what they're doing. So it's not as if they don't have the smarts, but one quick question, because I have noticed this over the years. Have we given up on our boys? Because the way the system used to be in Jamaica with primary school, prep school, all-age school, secondary school, we have removed that secondary education. And I say we have removed it, and I don't want anyone to cherry quote it now, because you had a chance of taking common entrance twice. You had a chance of taking technical entrance twice. You also had a chance of taking the ninth grade achievement once. Now, that will put you in third form in high school back in the days. But what they have done is that they have changed these secondary school, most of them, if not all of them, to junior high school and technical schools. So now you don't have the Papine and the Mona and the Donald Quarry Secondary anymore. You don't have that education sector. And then remember now...
Yeah, I agree with you.
And yes,
I agree with you. And I can relate to that because recently I was saying to a friend of mine that when we were in Rosal,
mm-hmm.
we had three tiers of school.
Mm-hmm.
Post-primary school.
Mm-hmm.
You had Junction Secondary, which is now BB Coke.
Mm.
You had Balaclava, Newell, Lacovia, and I think Black River was... I'm not sure. Let me leave Black River first. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you had Balaclava, Newell, Junction, mm-hmm. and Lacovia as secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
We had Sets as a technical high school in the mm-hmm. parish, and we had Monroe and Hampton.
Yeah.
I think Black River would have been somewhere thereabout, as well as Magotty.
Mm-hmm.
So what you had was that if a student wasn't performing up to par, you say Monroe,
mm-hmm.
because he was more technically oriented.
Right.
That child could leave Monroe and go to SETS.
Right.
If the child wasn't performing well in at SETS, they could leave and go to BB Cook or Newell or any of the other secondary, so named secondary school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there was different layers and different opportunities through which they could benefit. Now, we lumped everybody into one academic setup.
Ah.
There is no way for persons to go and pick up should you fall short.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I remember in my class, a particular student, young man, I won't call his name, but he was going to a traditional high school in Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
That young man was removed from the school in Manchester, and he attended SETS. Now, guess what? That boy left SETS as one of the top performing students. He was in the top 10 performing school students in the entire school.
Okay. Okay.
And he's exceptionally well today because there was an opportunity for him to go to another school that best suit
is
his skill set.
Definitely. And
we are in a system like this where everybody's in the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I said earlier, boys
60 seconds.
Are what we sometimes call late starters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we have them fail, or we say they have failed the PEP or whichever exam at primary. Because we have said that they fail based on their performance,
mm-hmm.
we put them into schools of a lower standard.
Yes.
Right? We demotivated them.
Mm-hmm.
We destroy their image, their ego.
Mm-hmm.
We destroy who they are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And you lump them into a school. Having gone there, parents sometimes feel discouraged and disenchanted by the fact that my child is placed there,
mm-hmm.
and therefore there is no parental support the way it ought to be.
Right.
So that child, then, who could have been a neurosurgeon, becomes a scammer.
On that note.
A gunman that runs an underground network so well that the police can't find him.
Definitely. On that note, Mr. President. Yeah, man. On that note, Mr. President, we're going to have to end the conversation here. You're going to have to come back again. I think the next time you come back, you'll be the immediate vice president, though, right? I think at that point, you'll be the immediate vice president. But time flies. And
at that time, I'd have to get permission from the president.
Yes, definitely. But I thank you so much. I thank you so much for the work that you do.
I hear Oliver advertising for the door. I tell you, boy, Oliver, you hit the nail on the head. I've been there, man, and the service is great. The food is nice.
Thank you for saying that, Mr. Smith. enjoy.
The place is in Jamaica, and you know, you have a nice yardy feel when you reach there, man. I mean, I've been there twice in March.
Yeah,
it
man.
It was really good.
All right, sir. Come back again when you're in town, man. Just let us know. All right, sir?
Well, send me a ticket, you know.
Just to eat at the door. Mr. Winston Smith, ladies and gentlemen, president of the Jamaica Teachers Association. He's up in Boston. Yes, and thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join us this morning to talk about some of the struggles that the teachers face in Jamaica. Salary. We must fix the salary scale of our teachers in Jamaica. Thank you very much, Mr. Smith.
You're most welcome. Thank you.
One love. We'll talk soon. Anthony, we have come to the end. We're going to have to turn the station over to the Wake Up Radio team with Carl B and Sister Debo. Until tomorrow evening, Anthony, thanks again for your contribution.
You take care.
One love. Groovin' Radio was executively produced by Clement Hume and Christopher Roberts. Groovin' Radio was hosted by Ras Clem. Contributing to our presentation this Saturday morning, gotta say thanks. We were engaged with the music of the German himself, Mr. Gentleman, and Alba Rosi, the man who was born and raised in Sicily. We were joined by Mr. Michael Salmon, the president of the Knox New York chapter. They're getting ready for their 75th. It's a boat ride celebration, love and devotion. On July 30th, we got news courtesy of the Jamaica Gleaner, Jamaica Now with Mr. Jovan Johnson. Anthony Turner joined us for ER Report, and then he provided the bio for Mr. Winston Smith, the president of the Jamaica Teachers Association, who's up in Boston. Waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour, it is going to be the Wake Up Radio team.